The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 123 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, Ruben Romero returns from Thinkalike Productions, and he's got a hot Kickstarter going on that he wants to talk with folks about. So we're giving him the chance to go over the goal and add stretch goals to what they're doing. So Ruben will talk about what the comic is about and what plans he has for it. He also talks about the company and what they're up to, including all kinds of good independent comics that I think deserve your attention and support. The Three Swords Kickstarter will end on Tuesday, April 12th at 10:10 a.m. So get over right now to Kickstarter.com and look for Three Swords. There's a lot to get to, as always, so let's get on with the show. Great to welcome back to the podcast Ruben Romero, the Chief Creative Officer of Thinkalike Productions, a company that produces a lot of great indie comics and has one on a Kickstarter right now, in fact. How are you doing today, Ruben?
I'm doing good, Wayne. How are you?
Good, good. Why don't we get right to the Kickstarter, because that's always a big, important deal. So the Kickstarter book is called Three Swords. Do you want to give us a little background on it?
Yeah, it's actually a reimagining of the Three Musketeers. So I grew up reading Alexandre Dumas' novel quite a bit as a little kid, and I always loved The Three Musketeers and that story. I just always felt like it was missing a little bit of fantasy. You know, I always wondered why he never dove into that realm in writing the book. Not saying anything bad about the novel, of course not. Like I said, I've read it multiple times, but as a big fantasy genre buff, I always wondered what it would be like if the Musketeers had witches and dragons and goblins and elves running around their world. How would that affect them? How would that come into play when it came to being a musketeer and protecting the crown, so to speak? So I'm co-writing the book with Bob Sally, who's done Salvagers, and I kind of pitched him the idea, and he was like, dude, we got to work on this. So that's what we did. We got to work, and he found a really great art team. Alessandro Miracolo is the artist. Dennis Lehman is the colorist. HDE Ponzi is going to be the letterist. So it's just a great book, and I'm fortunate to almost be at my goal with some extra time remaining. So that's always good to set some stretch goals and see if we can meet those and give the backers some extra goodies.
Yeah, the stretch goals are always some of the best stuff that you get on the Kickstarter programs.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good stuff. So at the time this airs, you may have already passed the goal. And if that's the case, I encourage people, don't figure, well, it's all over with, we don't have to get involved. That's actually the time to get involved, because you get all these extra goodies involved. So do all these things. Go. It's at Kickstarter.com. People always criticize me, I don't give this information out soon enough. But you go to Kickstarter.com and look up Three Swords, and you'll find it there. Right. And Three Swords number one, so it'll be good shape. And I'm pretty certain that you'll be getting all this good money and being able to have it going. Now, what stage are you actually at as far as putting the comic together?
You know what, to be honest with you, I mean, we're almost done with all the art. Mm-hmm. We told Alessandro to take a little break just because we have a really cool tier which is actually sold out now. But there was a point in time where you could put yourself into the comic book. So you had a chance to cameo in the comic book as a baker's son or a pirate or a beer wench or you know, something cool, maybe even a musketeer. And there was five of those available and they're all gone. So what we did was we wanted to make sure that we included those cameos in this first issue. And me and Bob have actually sat down and talked, and we've come up with a really good idea. It just so happened to be that it's all five guys, five men who donated for that tier. So we won't get to see a female musketeer, but we decided to go a different route with it. And we're going to do something really fun. And the people who paid for that cameo will be able to turn the page and be like, oh my God, there I am. And it's going to be really fun. So yeah, we're almost done with the art. And then Dennis, as Alessandro finishes up, Dennis is coloring them. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll be able to get the book out pretty quickly once the Kickstarter is over. So they won't be waiting too long. They won't be waiting too long for it.
Do you have an estimate as to when the book's going to be complete?
I would say we are in April. I would say probably the end of April, the beginning of May, we should be done with everything as far as art, colors. We do have a cover, but me and Bob have spoken about maybe we'll change that cover just a bit to fit the story a little bit more. But I mean, we have a beautiful cover right now, which I'm actually doing a mini poster of, but I'm going a certain style with the mini poster. So it's going to be really fun. That's one of the stretch goals. That's why I'm not giving too many details of what it's going to look like, but it's going to be a fun poster. I got the idea when I was watching Batman versus Superman. There was a certain trailer that aired before that that gave me a really cool idea. And I was like, oh, man, it would be fun to see our characters like that.
Very, very good. Now, you've got some other things I really like. You've got a pint glass and a T-shirt reward.
Yeah.
Are you going to have those made locally? Is that what's going to happen for those?
Yeah. We found a company here in Florida that does it fairly quickly and for a good price. And one of the big things is Porthos is a drinker. He likes his ale. So that was one of the things where we were like, you know what, we got to give them an opportunity to be able to pour themselves a beer and read this book and relax. And what better way to do that than with a pint glass with the Three Swords logo on it. And as far as the shirt goes, I just thought it's one of those things where, like the Kickstarter tier says, wear your allegiance. When it comes to backers and people who are coming in and investing money out of their own pocket to help you put together a project, I think that's something that they could be proud of. And you can't really carry the book everywhere and be like, oh, look, here's my name on the Most Wanted page or the executive producers page. I helped this book get made. No, you can wear the shirt. When people see the logo, they'll be like, oh, Three Swords, what is that? And that gives the opportunity for that backer who was excited enough to put that money in even before the book was out to be able to say, oh, well, it's this great independent book. I just got issue one. I backed it on Kickstarter. It's a really fun reimagining, retelling of the Three Musketeers. And they could say, hey, look, you know, this was one of the rewards that I got for backing it. So we thought that was a cool conversation starter.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always a good thing to do. You give people, they act as basically free advertising when they do that. Mm-hmm. And of course, people who wear those kinds of shirts are happy to do that. So it's a very good thing.
Exactly.
Great thing to do all that stuff. And you're going to have an Ashcan version as well. That's going to be something interesting. Of course, for people who may not know, an Ashcan is like a black and white free version that you're going to have. Is this going to all be available by, sounds like MegaCon is a time when these things might all actually hit the ground.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. We also have a tier in there for outside creators to come in and put an ad in the book. Yeah. I thought that was a really cool way to collaborate with people, with other creators who say, I want to be able to get the name of my book out there or get my name circulating. So we want to be able to take it to all the major Florida cons. It'll definitely be going to New York Comic Con. And why not put your ad in the book? Especially we're going to be gunning pretty hard with it, putting it in direct line of sight, so to speak, so that they can discover it.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing because these days, especially with indie comics, it seems like a lot of people, especially in Florida, are making indie comics, and that's always a good thing. And to get your name out and be associated with Think Alike would be a great idea, I think, to get the word out, especially in New York, because you were at New York last year and you were very successful there, right?
Yeah, we did great. I want to attribute our foot traffic to BBC, the channel. So I'd like to thank BBC for being there with the TARDIS. And the two guards who were there all weekend, you saw them, Thursday through Sunday, these guys were not allowed to smile whatsoever, and they did a great job. So it was really funny to watch. But yeah, I'm totally excited to get back there this year. It's such a spectacle to watch. Yeah. You know, New York Comic Con is, I tell people all the time, you've never been to a comic book convention until you go to New York Comic Con. And I'm sure it was the same way with San Diego Comic Con. But New York is just, it's amazing. I love to go outside right as the doors open and film time-lapse videos of everybody walking because it's just so many people. And then I send those to people who aren't there and they're like, oh my God, That's amazing. So it's a lot of fun. Love it. Love it.
Well, having been to both, I prefer New York. San Diego is a very exhausting convention. You have to walk all over downtown San Diego. There's hotels, there's restaurants. Besides the convention center, you've got to go around. And if you have one right after the other, it's a real trouble. You got to make sure you have plenty of time to walk, like a mile or two, to be able to get to the other place. And boy, when I came back, it took me a week to recover from San Diego. So
I don't doubt it. I'd love to go. I'd love to go, not even to work. I'd love to go just as a fan and enjoy the weekend. And especially if anything that's big that's premiering, I would probably be one of those people standing in line at Hall H just because I'd love to be a witness to something that epic, so to speak. So yeah, I'd love to go to San Diego, but I'd forego for once promoting the company and the books and just go and strap on my book bag and my hat and go as a fan.
Yeah, it's just amazing. The only bad thing is Saturday is kind of the worst day because you literally can barely move to the floor.
Right.
You know, you basically have to take little baby steps as you go along. And the moment if somebody stops to take a picture or something like that, everybody behind them is saying, "Hey, don't keep going. What are you doing? What's the matter with you?" So it's a very well-attended con. My biggest criticism of it, though, is that it's kind of gotten down and forgotten its roots as a comic convention. I think about a quarter of it, or maybe even less now, is comics. Everything else is pretty much media stuff, TV, movies, video games, and things like that, which is great. But, you know, it's not to say New York doesn't have that, because they do. But I think there are more comic things going on in New York than there are out in San Diego. So anyway, it's definitely New York is a place to go. And, you know, of course, the attendance, is there's always a rivalry between them because of the attendance. And we'll see. New York's a lot easier to get to and get in. You getting a hotel in San Diego around the convention, good luck. You've got to reserve it a year in advance.
Jeez.
But you can do it in New York.
Yeah, and I tried to get tickets for San Diego one time, and the site literally crashed. And I was so disappointed. I ended up going out and buying a flat screen TV with the money I had saved for the flight and the tickets. So it was kind of like a win lose situation. But I mean, you know, I got a good TV out of it. But it's on the bucket list. I definitely want to go. But New York is the place to be. I think last year they surpassed the San Diego Comic Con attendance for the year.
That's the rumor. Yeah.
So.
It's hard to know because, you know, when people come back and forth within it, you know, San Diego isn't quite the same as New York is the way that they keep track of these things.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to know, but either one is good. New York is kind of the San Diego of the East Coast for people. So it's a good place to go. If you can't go to San Diego, New York is definitely worth going to. You want to stand in line, that's the place to go.
Oh, yeah.
New York is a good place. Sometimes there'll be a line 2 or 3 hours before the convention opens.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Don't let that discourage you because it's certainly worth the wait. So
God, I can't wait. I can't wait till October. I'm getting excited right now, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one more clarification before we go on. Why you gave thanks to BBC is because you were right next to the BBC America booth.
Yes.
And they, of course, because of Doctor Who and everything, draw a massive amount of attention. And it was nice to be right next to them because you attract your own share of attention. But to share in their attention was kind of a nice thing. So and they had a real live TARDIS standing there and all that stuff. So it was good stuff.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Good thing. Now, let's get back to the story of the book, because I'm kind of, well, first of all, let's talk about how many issues it is. How many issues are in Three Swords?
We're going to go with a 4-issue introductory arc, as Bob likes to call it. What we wanted to do was, for the first time, is take this story and not make it about the Cardinal right off rip. So we introduce our villain, Hexia, who is a power-crazed demonic witch, so to speak. Very beautiful. Somebody who, from afar, you would probably want to approach and ask out on a date. But she's extremely dangerous. And she's enlisted the help of a ex-musketeer named Tugo, who has an axe to grind with Aramis. And together, they've been able to recruit a horde of pirates, so to speak, and criminals, and enlist them under their leadership and go after the queen. And there's a specific reason why they want the queen, but, you know, I don't want to give that away, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a reason why they want to get a hold of the queen. And we may or may not see the Cardinal in the first 4 issues. I don't want to give that away either, but he might be in there. He might be different than what we're used to seeing in pretty much every Musketeer story, every movie that's come out since the beginning. Really, it's always been the Cardinal. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to introduce Hexia and show that she is a force of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're going to do something that even the novels and the movies hinted at and showed little bits and pieces, but we're going to be able to, what we want to do is go ongoing. You're asking how many issues there are, but we're going to start with four, and depending on how that is received, then we can keep moving forward. But there's things that we want to do. We want to be able to dive into the backstories of the Musketeers, not all of them, obviously, just our three mains, Aramis, Porthos, and Athos. I want to be able to create a life for them that we didn't get to see and probably, you know, chronicle their steps towards becoming Musketeers and probably bookend the issues with their current life and then go through the past a little bit and back as where we are in the story at the time. So we'll be able to do that as we get higher and higher up in issues and things like that. And then, of course, there's always D'Artagnan, who we'll get to know right from the beginning. But his story is a little bit different. His background is, we're not revealing his background just yet, just because he is kind of tied to the Musketeers in a way that is probably just unconventional, maybe, I think is the right word. It's never been done. Let's just say it that way. But yeah, he's definitely in the story. Love that character. And we meet him right away, right in issue one. So yeah, it's good. A definite adventure, so to speak.
Well, speaking of that, there's a sentence on your page in Kickstarter. It says, we're stepping up the sword fighting and double fisting ale drinking in a way that would make George R.R. Martin blush.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about the fact that you have a novel and it's all words. You basically have to describe what's going on with your words. But if you have the visuals and the ability to do that, and the artist can do those kinds of things real well, and the illustration looks on there, it looks like it's great.
Oh, yeah.
You get the chance to do those kinds of things. I think that fans are going to like to see that a little more realistic, a little more action-oriented. Mm-hmm. So I think you're doing a good thing with that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Alessandro has, there's this panel in the page where Aramis is fighting two pirates at the same time. He's got two rapiers in his hands and he's just going from panel to panel. And in one of them, he's got the rapier shoved right through the roof of the mouth of one of the pirates. And there's like a tear coming out in the corner of his eye. And it's one of those visuals where it's just like, you will only get that like in Game of Thrones or something like that. And that was a big deal for me because that's the joke I tell people when I'm pitching the book, telling people about the book. I'm like, oh, just imagine if George R.R. Martin wrote The Three Musketeers or co-wrote The Three Musketeers with Dumas. And they're like, oh my God, like that's crazy. So yeah, it was one of those things where we wanted to step up the visuals. We wanted to step up the action. And at the same time, you know, there's humor in the book. You can't have the Musketeers without Porthos cracking jokes and doing just ridiculous things at the bar. So we're going to have plenty of that.
So how many pages in the first issue?
We're looking at 24.
24, okay, so that'll be good. And this will be coming out, as we know, physically you'll be able to see it at the convention. You know, you always want to make it available to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. If you don't go through the Kickstarter, and of course we encourage people to do that, right. If you can't go through the Kickstarter right now, how will you be able to access this book?
Oh, we're going to put it on Comixology right away. Mm-hmm. Right away. You know, I say right away, but there's always a time gap between the time you send the files to Comixology and then when it gets on. So I want to be able to let the Kickstarter rewards breathe and have those people have the opportunity to kind of revel in the fact that they got behind this project and that they're getting their hands on this book first. And then I'll probably wait. Or we'll probably wait a few weeks and then make it available on Comixology. And then, of course, we're going to print some up along with the Kickstarter to take to conventions and stuff with us. Just because, again, we've got that tier where you can put your ad in the book. And we want to make sure that this book makes its rounds. And we give the creators who were kind enough to back that tier their just due. And make sure that we get the word out for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about New York. And you go to conventions oftentimes, like including MegaCon and others. Are there going to be conventions in which you can get the creative team together to have like sign the books and stuff for folks?
I wish, you know, I really do. It's one of those things. I think that's one of the downfalls, if probably the only one, of working in the independent comic book business, because again, we meet people on social media and we develop these friendships, these kinships, these working relationships together. And we can probably go our whole lives without ever meeting Alessandro just because he's overseas. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. Would I love to do it? Yeah, I'd love to fly him out, but we're still working on getting to that status. When Think Alike gets its private jet, we're going to be bringing all our overseas artists all over the place. But until then, we're kind of stuck like that, you know. But the plan is to take a certain amount of them, ship them over to Alessandro, get them signed, get them shipped back, ship those same to Dennis, get them back. And hopefully they travel well and they're well taken care of. And we'll be able to get a good amount of them already pre-signed by the whole team to make that available. And again, I know the importance to collectors, to people who support indie comics, to be able to get those books. signed by the whole creative team. Me and Bob, you know, we're here in the States. I'm sure there'll be times when Bob will be with Think Alike at a booth or something like that, and we'll have the book available. You know, he was just with us at C2E2.
Right.
So I'm sure that'll happen. I'm sure me and him will be able to be around. But as far as Alessandro and Dennis, it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Well, maybe someday we could just hook up like a, we'll have like a panel and you'll have like them on Skype or something and you can talk about it. That would be a good way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good. So the title name is Three Swords. Mm-hmm. It's at Kickstarter.com and you look that up and you'll find it on there. When this airs, there'll be 8 days left to go. So be sure to get in there. We're not sure at this point whether it's going to be completely funded or not, but even if it's not, get in there and help it get funded. And if it is funded, get in there and get those stretch goals going because that's where a lot of the good things happen.
Oh, yeah.
So get into that. Now, why don't we go ahead and get on to what Think Alike's up to these days? Because you guys have a lot of books coming out, and I got to work at your booth at C2E2, and it was great fun to talk about all the various titles that were going on. Do you want to talk about what's happening or where Think Alike is right now?
It's funny because when I first was on this show, it was the agency. And when we spoke at length, and you really gave me a lot of great feedback and a lot of love and some great exposure for the agency. And really, I didn't think that we would be where we are now. You know, by the end of this year, we're going to have 18 titles.
Wow.
We have some amazing creators. We've got some great books, and it just keeps growing. I don't think there has been a day, and this is not to sound arrogant or pompous or anything, but I don't think there's been a day that's gone by in the last few weeks where I haven't received an email, whether it's an email through our website or a direct message on Instagram or a direct message on Facebook, asking if we take submissions or how do they submit to Think Alike. And it's one of these feelings where it's like, you know, I'm waking up, I'm clocking into my regular job, and there's people who want to be a part of this movement. And it's amazing to me, and I feel super blessed about it. I think we're fortunate. I think in the last few years that we've been doing this, I've seen a lot of small independent publishers pop up and then disappear. And people, oh, we've got 25 books, 30, 40 books, you know, come read our books. And then a few weeks later, they're nowhere to be found on social media. And I think that that's one of the things that Think Alike has going for it, that we have a good core group of guys who really want to make this thing happen for everybody involved. Where we are now, we have so many good things going on that it's kind of hard to just pinpoint one. I mean, we're about to start the con circuit, but it's one of these things where I'll be able to share our space with a talented creator, Richard Rivera, which I know you know. He's got great books. He's got Stabbity Bunny. He's got Wild Bull and Chipper. We're going to be promoting Under the Flesh, which is a book by Gilbert Deltrez, who just funded his Kickstarter in a day. Just in a day. Crazy. So that just attests to the kind of fan base he has. And how long people have been waiting to get to his next couple of issues. And he's got a great story. We've got an Ashcan version. We were talking about Ashcans earlier. I've got a sci-fi book that's already out technically in Ashcan form called The Throwaways, which is kind of like my love letter to Steven Spielberg is the way I pitched it. It's basically everything that I loved about Steven Spielberg 80s movies and like that sci-fi kid adventure genre type of thing. So we've got that. We're still pushing Pray for Angels, which is a retelling of Jack the Ripper, which was brought to us by the president of our company, Benjamin Sharbit. That's based on a script that hopefully we'll be shooting next year. It was supposed to shoot this year, but the way the film industry works, it's crazy. And the director really wants to shoot overseas. So those things take a little bit of time, but we're hoping. And again, we've brought on so many great creators. We've got Kenneth Centers with Astropunk. We've got Bob Sally, who we gave the Creator of the Year Award to with Salvagers. We've got Astropunk coming out. We've got Sakuro coming out. We've got so many that I'm going blank. I always tell myself I want to write everything down before I do podcasts, and I should, just because I feel so bad at the end of the show when I can't rattle everybody off. But yeah, I mean, like I said, by the end of this year, we're going to have 18 titles, and we're just growing. We're just growing.
It's quite an accomplishment. Let's get back to the agency for a minute now, because that's available in trade. You've got your first, what, five issues in trade
five
now?
Five issues, yep.
Yeah, and you got trades in print form, but you also have them on Comixology.
Correct.
If somebody wants to get the trade paperback version, do they go through your website? Is that thinkalikeproductions.com?
thinkalikeproductions.com, or they can reach us on the agency Facebook page. Just search the agency and send me a direct message, and we can go through there. We're working on, again, I mentioned Richard. Not only did he come on board as a creator, but he's our marketing and branding manager. He's just got a way of doing things business-wise when it comes to the comic book world, the independent comic book world. He's got a very keen eye for how the booth should be set up, how the books should be displayed. So me and him, we've developed not only a great working relationship, but a really great friendship. So we're always talking. talking, we've got thinkalikeproductions.com, mm-hmm. where you can kind of go in and find out a little bit about the company and about its creators and where we're going to be and stuff like that. But me and Richard have talked about opening up a Big Cartel store mm-hmm. to make the books available. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the agency, I'm actually doing something really fun with the agency. We are going to be shooting a pilot episode for the agency coming up here pretty soon. And what I've done, along with my wonderful production team that I'm working with, a company called Dream Alive Productions, we've gone out and we've recruited some of the best Florida cosplayers to take on the roles of our agents and Riley. And then we've gone and gotten and recruited some good talent behind the camera. One of our cameramen, he did work on Ballers, the HBO show, so he knows what he's doing. I'm going to write it and direct it. My assistant director is Jose, who is a co-owner of Dream Alive Productions. So it's going to be an awesome experience. The other day, somebody sent me some character designs for the agency, the animated series. And I thought they were really cool. Those are up on the agency Facebook page. And that always gets my gears turning and things like that. The agency's my baby. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's the first book I ever did, I ever wrote. And I'm still getting emails of people discovering it or who have read the first five issues. And they're like, where's issue six? Where's the second volume? And, you know, it's coming. It's coming. You know, I just a lot of things have come in, a lot of irons in the fire. But I'll definitely be getting back to doing the agency and just exploring that world and the International Agency of Magic and how Riley kind of fits into all of that.
Now, you mentioned throwaways, too. The ash can's out, but the full issue has not yet come out. Do you have an estimation? Is that also MegaCon?
I don't know. The colorist that I have on that, George Cortez, who did Pray for Angels, such a talented kid, so talented that Zenoscope kind of has him under their thumb, so to speak, with deadlines and all kinds of books. So I love him to death. And really, I'm working with a great team there too. Clara Meath is the artist and she's in school, and we're not in a big hurry to get that book out real fast. It's one of these things where it's actually been almost 2 years in the making. It's a five issue miniseries, and Clara just has a vision for her career, and George of course wants to put his best foot forward, and so do I when it comes to the writing. So it's one of those things where we've taken our time with this book, because again, it's a five issue miniseries. Everybody's got hectic schedules, and we're all kind of just creating this book out of love. It's a product of love at this point. So we're just going slowly but surely. But again, I had the files done for issue one. It wasn't lettered, but Richard was like, man, this thing is beautiful. Let's see how people respond to it. So we went ahead and we put together issue one, and he was right. People at C2E2 ate it up. They loved the cover, and we were able to sell quite a few copies. So there is some ash can versions of the throwaways floating around out there. So hold on to those, especially if I sign them, because eventually, at some point, the book will be in full color, and those will be a thing of the past. Not that I don't love how it looks in black and white, but once the book is in color, you can't really see it any other way than that. So
very good. So, and of course, I've talked to Bob about Salvagers, which is moving along quite well. In fact, his second arc is in process, and so that'll be coming out soon. And of course, talked with Richard just last episode about his stuff. So we've got updates on those. Are there other things that you guys are doing that we should know about?
You know, I mentioned some of my guys. We've got Sakuro coming out. We just picked up a book called The Battle of Oselberg. Dion Brown, he wrote this. It looks almost like Little Red Riding Hood meets just, I don't even know how to put it. It's just so fantastical the way it is. You've got talking animals, and he had me at talking animals, by the way. I was just, that was it for me. I was like, okay, I'm there. Love those kind of stories. We've got like Kenneth Centers with Astropunk, which is just a sci-fi murder mystery beat cop type of thing set on Mars. Very Blade Runner-ish, so to speak. Those guys are big fans of that genre of film. So we've got a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of books coming out. Like I said, we're shooting the agency pilot. As an independent publisher, you're always trying to find what else you can do. So again, we're just little by little growing the library, trying to expand the IP, the intellectual property, so to speak, with these books. And yeah, I mean, one comic book at a time.
Very good. Very good. Do you want people to know how to contact you if they want to submit or become a part of Think Alike?
Oh yeah, definitely. If you're an independent creator, right now, we're not accepting submissions from just writers or artists. You do have to have a book either in production or close to finishing. At least the first three issues, we like to have a little bit of a backlog, so to speak, because primarily we are a digital distributor through Comixology. But yeah, if you want to be a part of Team Think Alike, that's how I refer to the company and everybody in it, is Team Think Alike. If you want to be part of Team Think Alike, just submit to tap@gmail.com. So that's submit to tap@gmail.com. The email, you want to make it attention Roger Cabrera. If you mess up spelling his last name, don't worry about it. He likes that kind of stuff. And yeah, just send us a sample of the script, a couple of pages, lettered preferably. That's one of our big things. We like to see what your letters look like. Mm-hmm. People are always surprised about that. I always ask about the letters first. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and we'll see. We'll go from there. We're small enough to the point where we will always answer you till right now. To the time that this airs, we will always answer you, and maybe a little while longer after this airs. Because nowadays, all the submissions to like the larger publishers, they always say that, well, if you don't hear back from us, just consider it a rejection. Well, we don't reject you. I mean, if the book doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. You know, that's one thing that we have set a bar for ourselves. And again, that's not to sound snobby, or, you know, a comic book snob or whatever, but it's something that if you want to impact the indie comic book world, I think that you have to create a book that can stand toe-to-toe with the big three, which is Marvel, DC, and Image. And if your covers and your inside artwork just isn't there, then it's one of those things where we'll give you that criticism. We'll tell you, this is what you're doing right, this is what you're doing wrong, and come back and see us. And you don't make a lot of fans like that. But again, if everybody tells you that everything is great, then there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, well, it's very
there's
good.
There's always room for improvement.
That's right. Yeah. Now, it's thinkalikeproductions.com.
Right.
And also on Facebook for Thinkalike. Now, as we said before, Three Swords at Kickstarter.com. And yep. Be sure to get in. There'll be 8 days left until I'm sure will be the successful completion of this. Yep. So, all good things. So, Ruben, man, all kinds of exciting things going on at Thinkalike Productions. Oh, yeah. Glad you guys are being so successful and wish you even more success in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this week. Be back next episode when I'll have another terrific conversation with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.